Welcome to another episode of Braveheart Talks. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today because today I'm going to help us have a little bit of focus and a little bit of thought all around everything to do with our mouths. Because girls, our mouths can either really get us places and get us far in life, or our mouths can really be the undoing of us. And let's be honest, we have an awful lot of words to say a lot of the time. I want to take you to a scripture that is in Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it says that the tongue can bring life or death to those who love it, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So you can bring death or life to your life just by the word you speak. And I just want to be clear and say that the word death, it doesn't mean checking out of this planet necessarily, but it means that you can bring death to certain areas of your life. For example, you can be married, but the marriage is dead. You can be earning a wage every month, but you can be financially dead. You can be a friend, but that friendship is just not life-giving anymore. It just feels dead. You can actually be a Christian, but you can be spiritually dead. So we often reference how God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but it's only when you're pursuing that destiny that you are truly fulfilled in life. But it is possible to live your whole life and never actually align with His plans. You can exist in life and yet you can feel quite dead in your life because you've never truly known what it is to live with real joy and purpose, and that the reason that joy is absent from your life often is because of the way you speak. So what you say with your mouth will bring about death or life to your everyday living. On an average, we speak 16,000 words a day. I think for some of us, I might be in the category where it might be a little bit more than 16,000 words a day. But with that many words, it can often become like scooping handfuls of sand off the beach. There's so many grains of sand, it doesn't really matter if we drop a few. A few slip through our fingers and it's not really a problem. But you know, in the same way, when we're speaking that many words a day, we can become a little bit careless about dropping a few here and there. Like it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if we just said that or we meant that or that flew out of our mouth. But what we need to understand is dropping a few words here and there can cause consequential damage. Isaiah 59 tells us this: listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor his ear too deaf to hear you. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore. And the scripture goes on to say that your hands are the hands of murderers and your fingers are filthy with sin, and your lies, your lips are full of lies and your mouth spews corruption. I mean, that's a pretty heavy verse, right? But what in essence it's saying is when you feel disconnected with God, it's saying that there's nothing wrong with him or his love for you, but it's your sin that separates you from him. When you feel distant from God, I promise you, it's on you. It's not him. It's something you have done with your life. This passage is talking about us as believers. You can know God, you can be saved by God, but never seem to be able to get close to God, because your closeness is not dependent on your love. It's dependent on his love, rather. It's dependent on your obedience. So your closeness with God is not dependent on his love for you, but it's always dependent on your obedience to him. The way you've lived and what you've done can leave you feeling distant from God. And what you've done most probably because of what you've said. The way you speak, your mouth is the steering wheel that turns the circumstances of your life, and it turns your life for the better or for the worse. Your mouth is the steering wheel of your life. So what you say is always prequel to what you do. How you speak directs how you act. It directs the way that you act. That's why David said in Psalm 143, he said, God, put a guard over my mouth. Lord, watch over the door of my lips. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying, I know how my mouth has a tendency to run away and get me into trouble. God, I mean, have you ever been that person where you come away from a conversation and you think, why did I say that? Why did I even mention that? How did that just so easily fly out of my mouth? David was saying, God, I'm asking you for your help. Teach me how to speak your words. Teach me how to say the right words. May I be speaking your kind of language. May my mouth be the mouth of wisdom and not the mouth of carelessness. So your words will steer your life in a certain direction. But words don't originate from the mouth. They begin in the heart. We're familiar with Proverbs 4, right? That says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything comes from the heart into the mouth, and out of the mouth, the heart begins to speak. James 3 tells us, just one spark from the tongue can start a forest fire. I mean, think about that. Just one wrong comment, just like dropping one of those grains of sand, just dropping an odd word here or there and not really thinking about it. This scripture is telling us it can literally start a forest fire. I mean, relationally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, physically, your mouth will either speak prosperity, life, and wholeness into these areas, or your mouth will speak discouragement, unbelief, and death, and like a fire, will bring to the ground your relationships, your finances, your friendships, your health. But here's the cool thing, we get to choose. The not so cool thing is we don't always choose right. You know, I learned a very long time ago to be very careful the way I spoke about myself. Because what I realized is if I can't speak life-giving words over me, I'm never going to speak them over my husband, never going to speak them over my children or any of my friendship circles. But it takes willingness and discipline to wake up in the morning and not go with how I feel, but rather to wake up and declare how I want to see and how I want it to be. It's not delusion. This is what faith looks like. Faith says, I'm not going to look at the circumstances around me. I'm not going to listen to how I'm feeling. But today I'm going to speak some affirmation and some scriptural declaration because it's what I want to see manifest in my life. Today, from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, every cell, every sinew, every fiber of my being is blessed with good health. I speak that over myself, even on the days when I'm dragging my body out of bed. Today, my life is purpose and I will walk in the blessings of God. Today, His goodness and mercy are pursuing me. Start to speak some life-affirming words over your life, because if you don't, you'll never be able to speak them into your family or into those around you. And I have found that the more you take control over who you are, the more control you have over who you become. And you start making wise choices. You get better at dealing with feelings and you begin to speak from a place of wisdom rather than giving into emotion. You know, the Bible is full of advice, especially when it comes to the mouth. It's like God knew this little tiny hole that I was going to put in the front of your face, right? It's either going to bring you the best life possible or it's going to be the undoing of you. It's like God knew the way that we use it is going to draw us closer to Him or it's going to separate us from Him. If we go back to the beginning of time, in fact, right back to day one in the book of Genesis, because it's really important to go back to the beginning, because the beginning of everything is the foundation everything else is built on. you know, the principles you teach your children at the beginning of their lives become the foundation for the rest of their lives. Well, so it is with us and the Word of God. So I want to be sure and I want to understand that. I want to understand what God is teaching at the very beginning so that I build my life in a right and healthy way. So in Genesis 1, verse 3, God spoke. He said, light, and light appeared. So straight away, we see that with his words, God creates and he identifies a thing and he names a thing. God saw that the light was good and he separated the light from the darkness, and God named the light day and he named the dark night. And then in Genesis 3 verse 1, it says this, we're introduced to the serpent and he comes along to have a conversation with Eve. It says that the serpent was more clever than any wild animal that God had made. And he spoke to the woman. So we need to understand that God speaks in order to create, but the enemy speaks also when he wants to disrupt or destroy. But here's a really important lesson. The enemy cannot create with his words. He can only twist with his words. So whenever the enemy is speaking, whenever there's that little voice in your ear, he can only ever twist what God has said. He can't create anything. So he said to the woman, do I understand that God told you not to eat from the tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from all of the trees in the garden. He just said, not that one. When the enemy speaks, he always intends to attack what God has said. And he does this by getting you to question God's word. And when you question the word that was meant to give you life, he twists it so that what was meant to give you life becomes death. The moment you listen to the lie, the moment you enter into the gossip, the moment you listen to the sower of discord, the moment you listen to the voice of seduction, the moment that voice knows it has your ear, you are in trouble. Though the serpent's words were not true, it did not stop Eve from listening to them. You see, as human beings, we're wired for information and we want that information, whether it is good or bad. And unfortunately, that was the downfall of Eve, because she listened to them and it didn't stop them then from having the power to ruin her life. Because whatever you entertain, whatever information you take on, you listen to, you entertain it, it then has the power to run your life. And in Eve's case, it ruined her life. Our beliefs give life to all word, but only the word gives life to us. So let me just break that down for you. What we believe to be true is what we will listen to. Whether it is truth or it is not truth is irrelevant, because what we believe gives life, because we begin to speak it out of our life. You can speak yourself into sickness. You can speak yourself into all sorts of chaos and trouble. You can speak yourself into depression, because what we believe in our minds, whether it's about ourselves or about another person or about our circumstances, if we make that narrative the truth in our minds, then our words give life to it. But it is only the word of God that gives life to us. So as you start reading through the Gospels, you will begin to see that Jesus spoke life. He used words to heal people, to give people hope. When Jesus was in the storm on a boat with the disciples, he rebuked it. He spoke at the storm. He didn't do something magical with his hands. He didn't just have this moment where he went into some form of action. He used his words. He spoke to the storm. He spoke authority over it. He spoke peace. And the moment that he speaks peace, it becomes calm. Why? Because Jesus knew the power of words. He understood the power of words. You know, you and I, we have the same power that rose Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. And therefore, in our circumstances, we have that same authority to speak to the storm in our life, to use our words, to use our spiritual power, the words of Jesus, the word of God. We can speak it into the storms in our life. You know, when Lazarus died and Jesus went to the tomb, he didn't perform any sort of ritual or performance. He shouted, "Lazarus, come out." I mean, have you ever wondered why he shouted? Because Lazarus was beyond death. He was dead. Lazarus was dead. It wasn't like the louder Jesus shouted, the more clearer Lazarus would hear. Jesus wasn't shouting for Lazarus. He was shouting first and foremost so that the people around him could hear his voice. And he was shouting secondly so that the principalities and powers that had Lazarus dead could also hear his authority over the situation. Your mouth, your words are so important. Words are the tool that God used to create. Words are the tool that Jesus used to change circumstances. We are made in his image, right? We come wearing a mouthpiece, but we get to choose whether we use that mouth for good or evil. And I want to remind you, and this might surprise you, but just because you are a Christian doesn't mean your mouth will start speaking differently, right? You have to restrain it. You have to restrain it. You have to train it. And you have to choose how to use it. So you decide whether you are going to bless or curse, whether you're going to build up or tear down, whether you're going to give life or you're going to speak death. You know, many of you may not be familiar with the name Philip Semmelweis. He was a Hungarian physician in the 1800s, and he was a man who was first introduced, well, he first introduced hand disinfectant. He was known as an early pioneer of antiseptic procedures, and he was described as the savior of mothers. And he was described as this because in the 1800s, people were unaware of germs that the doctors themselves would carry when they would deliver babies without washing their hands or cleaning their instruments. And consequently, many, many, like hundreds, thousands of young mothers were dying at childbirth from disease. But they didn't have a language for this, so they used to call it childbed fever. Semmelweis committed himself to finding out why so many young mothers were dying, and he wanted to find a fix. And he did everything from changing the birthing position to changing the aesthetics in the ward and making it a more pleasant and appealing place for them. And eventually he introduced the washing of hands. And when he introduced the washing of hands and instruments, miraculously, the death rate dropped. Though he did not have language to explain why, he just knew it worked. He couldn't articulate about germs because he didn't know about bacteria and they'd not yet discovered all of these things yet. But this is really interesting because though the death rate dropped and there was a marked difference as women got less sick, the other doctors rejected his disbeliefs about hand washing because for them to accept that his findings were right would mean that they would also have to accept the responsibility for the hundreds and thousands of deaths of women over the years. So rather than the doctors accept responsibility for the weight of their own negligence, they had Semmelweis locked up in an asylum where he died at the age of 47. And I tell you this story because for us to accept this principle that I've been teaching on today about the mouth and the way that we speak and using it to create for the good or the bad, to be speaking praiseworthy reports or bringing about corruption, for us to accept this teaching, we would all have to accept and take responsibility for where our life is today. For our words of discouragement and despair, for the way that we've spoken over ourselves and over our marriages, for the way that we've spoken over other people. Maybe we are where we are today because of the way we've been speaking. I mean, you've been telling that child he's a pain in the backside since he was 7 years old. Now he's 17 and he really is bringing problems to your doorstep. But we have to take responsibility, because in the same way God's words create, our words have had an influence on the person that child has become today. You know, every time you speak to your friend, you complain about your husband. The conversation is about everything he's not and everything he hasn't done. And then we wonder why our marriages feel dead. The marriage can never be greater than what you call it. Semmelweis's message to the other doctors was just try it. If only you'll try it, you'll see it works. I might not be able to explain it very well, but you will see and you will live in the results of it. And it's the same message that God's word brings to you today. Isaiah 55 says, his word is like seed that always bears fruit. It never returns void. It always bears fruit. You know, fruit takes time. Fruit doesn't spring up overnight. Fruit, you don't plant a seed one day and reap the harvest the next day. It takes time. When the seed is planted, things will grow. And my request to you is, why don't you plant some new seeds in your heart today? Why don't you diligently make a marked difference over the way that you speak and just see how it materializes in your future? I want to take you to Proverbs 18 in closing. It says, whatever words you speak will determine what fruit you get to eat in your lifetime. Wow. I guess the question I want to leave with you is by asking yourself today is, what do you want to see in your future? And whatever that is, you have to start speaking it as though it is. Your eyes see through sight, but your heart, which is where the mouth speaks from, sees with vision for the future. Your heart speaks your future. And so you don't speak from your eyesight, you speak from your heart, and your future will see you eating the words of your life. So let's not be careless with them. Let's not think it doesn't matter if I drop a few or make a few mistakes. What comes out of your mouth matters. What comes out of your mouth should be a spearhead aiming towards a target that you want to see in the future of your marriage, your friendships, your finances, your health, your children. Listen, I have favor. This is what you need to speak. I have favor. I seek wisdom. Grace covers my life. There is always hope. Blessings are chasing me down. Goodness and mercy are following me. Get some of this good language into your life today and just see how much your future changes. Thank you for joining me on Braveheart Talks. And remember, conference is coming and I cannot wait to be with you in the room. Until next time, take care.